Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, the Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. This is Reb T here reminding you that we're coming out to the last few weeks of this year for this season. Then we're going to take our summer hiatus and come back, God willing, with season 4. We'll end it with a different commentary. And we're in 520 Hey Chaf. Also, all previous episodes and seasons are on anchor.fm/RebT. Let's talk today about some different characteristics that we could learn from animals, how we could be using characteristic like animals. Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Yehuda ben Tema says, Heve az kanamar, be bold as a namer. Kanamer. The kal kanesher, swift as an eagle, the rutz katzvi, fast as a deer, the gibor ka'ari, and strong as a lion, la'asos ritzon avicha sheba shamayim, to do the will of your father in heaven. Hu hayo omer, he used to say, az panim legehenum, the brazen face go to gehenim, uboshes panim legan Eden, and the shame faced to the garden of Eden. You hear it some of anacha, Hashem alkenu, shativne ircha b'mheira v'yamein v'sincha ken b'sor se. May it be the will before you, Hashem, our God, that you rebuild your city speedily in our days. Grant us our share in your Torah. So here we're talking these different characteristics. When you think about the deer, my parsha is Vayechi. Obviously, I think that's the best parsha in the Torah. I love that parsha. I'm quite biased towards it. But one of the things is that every shaven has a different characteristic, has a different ability, has a unique characteristic to them. And Naftali, you know, is like a deer. Naftali ayala shulcha hanosin emre shafar. You know, Naftali is as swift as a deer. When Yaakov was being brought to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah to be buried, and Esav was contesting the sale, before he was chopped off his head by Chushim, the son of Dan, Naftali, I believe, was the one that ran all the way back to Mitzrayim to get the deed of sale, because Naftali was a fast, swift deer. He had the ability, he had the capability to run and was quick on his feet. So we have to be quick on our feet among other different characteristics. So here, we're coming to add that sometimes it's necessary to use traits that seem antithetical to the students of Avraham in order to carry out the will of God, pointed out by Magen Avos. The significance of the Mishnah's teaching can be seen in the fact that Tor saw fit to begin his halacha compendium by citing and elaborating on this Mishnah. So he was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. From a statement at the end of the Mishnah regarding the rebuilding of Jerusalem, it appears he lived after the destruction of the temple, pointed out by Magen Avos. Some suggest this town is identical with Yehuda ben Dama, nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, and one of the Asari Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs killed by the Roman government that ruled Eretz Yisrael at that time. Pointed out by Maganov's Ravad, Sefer HaKabbalah also. Although in our standard text in the Mishnah he is untitled, the manuscript version and Avot Rabbeinu Nasan, as well as pointed on Pesachim and Chagiga, give him the title Rabbi. Interesting. So, be bold as a namir. Our Mishnah refers to an animal that is crossbreed between a lioness and a wild boar. During mating season, the lioness roars in order to call the male to her. When the wild boar hears this call, he comes and he comes to her. The result of this unnatural union is a namir. The namir was chosen as a paradigm of boldness since it portrays itself to be much stronger than it actually is, pointed out by Rabbi Magen Avos, and is less afraid of humans than other wild animals, pointed out by Midrash Shmuel. Rav attributes the Namir's brazenness to its ancestry. The offspring of illegitimate unions are by nature brazen, for they tend to overemphasize their presence to make up for what they lack in pedigree, and the Namir is no exception. See further in Magen Avos. And here, we're going to switch over to Kal Kanesher, swift as an eagle. The eagle is the model of swiftness, since it flies much faster, pointed out by Rashi, and higher, pointed out by Machzervichi, than other birds, and it hastens to eat. One must strive to approach the service of God with a similar untiring diligence, pointed out by Meiri, specifically his study and review of Torah lessons, pointed out by Rav and Rav Yonah. The stitch of the Mishnah is based upon the next clause, they will grow wings like eagles, they'll run and not grow tired. Interestingly, also the eagle is a paradigm of someone that takes care of their young, someone that tries to protect them. There's an allegory to the eagle in the Torah, how Hashem puts us on his back to protect us from arrows of the people below. Usually, people carry their things in their claws underneath them, but the eagle, since he flies the highest, everybody else is below him. So he wants to make sure No, but he's hurt, so he puts his young on his back to protect them, which is also interesting. So just, and also fast as a deer, one must run like a deer with zerizus, alacrity, to seek out and perform the commandments of the Torah, as pointed by Rav. Whereas most people who run or walk more than they are used to eventually tire, those engaged in fulfilling the commandments will not, as pointed out by a verse in Isaiah. When one encounters a spiritual threat such as heretical ideas, he should run quickly, distance himself like a deer that uses its speed to escape the hunters. A deer, pointed out by Tiferes Yisrael. A deer always looks back over its shoulder to see if the pursuers are gaining. Similarly, even when he thinks he has escaped the present danger, he must constantly be wary of the evil inclination that pursues him, pointed out by Medrash Shmuel. And let's move over to strong as a lion. One must possess a tremendous spiritual fortitude both to overcome the guiles of the evil inclination, pointed out by Rob, and like in the Mishnah above, who is strong, he who subdues his personal inclination, stronger than someone who builds a city, pointed out by Magen Avos, and to fulfill the positive commandments of the Torah, pointed out by Rashi. Just as the lion is an animal whose every limb and muscle evince tremendous physical strength, we are similarly encouraged to wholly dedicate our every thought and action toward carrying out God's will, pointed out by Rav Yonah. The Tanna's metaphors of the eagle and the lion are borrowed from Scripture. King David, in his dirge for King Saul and his son Jonathan, declared, "They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions," pointed out by Machzor Vitri. To do the will of your Father in heaven, all of these traits listed thus far, brazenness, alacrity, speed, and strength, are not intrinsically praiseworthy, for each can be used for improper purposes and often carry negative connotations, pointed out by Medrash Shmuel. It's only when they're channeled toward doing the will of your Father in heaven that the Tanna recommends them, pointed out by Rav Yonah, Meiri, Rambam commentary. And there's an example of this that Rashi points out. Exerting oneself for the honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara quotes in Pesach and Rabbi Akiva, who says, "Treat your Sabbath as a weekday, but do not be dependent on people for aid." Rabbi Akiva maintains that although one is commanded to eat three meals on the Sabbath, in contrast to the two meals a day that were standard in the Mishnaic times, one should not resort to charity to do so. Thus, if one has enough money for two meals but not three, he should treat the Sabbath as a weekday and eat two meals. Even so, the Gemara qualifies Rabbi Akiva's statement with the requirement that one must nonetheless find the wherewithal, short of begging, to prepare a small special dish for the Shabbos. So therefore, that's why somebody should, when it comes to fulfilling the Torah's commandments, like honoring the Shabbos, be bold as an emir and swift as an eagle. And then the brazen face to Gehenna, the shame face to Garden of Eden. Here, there's contrasting two opposing personalities from the author of the Mishnah, the brazen and the bashful. Brazenness is from the fact that brazenness is expressed by the face, and bashfulness is a characteristic also visible on the face, pointed out by Rav and Tiferes Yisrael. So Rav Yonah writes that the brazen face are those fools who always see and make a point of mentioning the negative, while the shame face always try to find the positive in every situation. When the former come across a dead animal, they comment, "How putrid is this carcass?" Whereas the latter say, "But see how white are its teeth." You could always look for the good in life, you just have to see where and how to look. The two terms are synonymous with the wicked and the righteous, respectively, Magen Avos. And brazen face don't accept rebuke. They eschew the path of righteousness, pointed out Meiri. It's the inescapable fate of such wicked people to be punished in Gehenna. And being bashful, though, is the mark of the righteous, for the Gemara explains anyone who's bashful does not readily sin and will therefore merit to enter the Garden of Eden after they die. And let's move over to Yehi Ratzon. Rambam commentary explains that this request builds on the previous clause, which declared that the bashful merit to enter the Garden of Eden. The trait of bashfulness is one of the defining characteristics of the Jewish people, Yevamos points out, and we know that this aspect of our national psyche is not our own doing, but was imparted to us by God. We therefore request that just as God kindly bestowed upon us the praiseworthy trait of bashfulness, it is similarly within his power to rebuild Jerusalem. May he do so speedily in our days. According to Tiferes Yisrael, the prayer is meant to counter that which the Gemara in Sota explains, that the period which will precede the coming of Mashiach, insolence will increase. Instead of having the final redemption and the rebuilding of Jerusalem be brought about as a result of the insolence of the brazen face, we ask that God rebuild the city out of compassion. Further, we pray that the brazenness we do possess should be harnessed for the purpose of furthering our Torah study. And Meiri suggests that the phrase is indicative of closure demonstrated at the end of Tractate Tamid, and these words at one point were the end of the tractate. Although in our text there is more material that follows, this was added at a later time. So join us next time as we, well, first of all, remember, we got to use these different traits of animals and different things around us. Everything around us we should learn from. Ezehu chacham halomin mikol adam. And not even mikol adam. I would extend it to say, in my humble opinion, ezehu chacham halomin mikol makom, halomin mikol chaya, mikol behema. You know, we learn from every animal. We learn from everything around us. Everything can teach us something. I think the Gemara and the sages point out you could learn like hard work from an ant because it carries so much more than its load, than how much it really weighs itself. And you could learn like stealthiness from a snake. You could learn like persistence from a spider because it takes forever for them to spin the web. But everything can be learned something. You just have to look and you're able to learn it. And we should also remember to be bashful and speedily hope for the building of our Beis HaMikdash speedily in our days with the coming of Mashiach and Geula. Join us next time as we talk about different ages that things are supposed to happen. Very interesting. What should happen to 5 years old, at 10 years old, 13 years old, 18 years old, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, all the way to 100. Very cool. Join us next time on the PAL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.